حضرت شاہ نقشبند، حضرت بہاء الدین نقشبند رحمۃ اللہ علیہ، may Allah have mercy on him, who is the founder and the head of the Silsila Naqshband, of the spiritual chain of Naqshband. Naqshband, the spiritual chain. And due to attachment and connection with him, this majlis of dhikr is also continuing and taking place. And due to the connection with the Silsila of Naqshbandi, this dhikr and this teaching has reached to us. Now, Naqshbandi is a silsila, a spiritual chain or order or series in Islam. There are four silsila in Islam, spiritual chains. Silsila Qadiriyya, there's the order of the Chishtiyya, there's the order of Suhrawardiyya, and the spiritual order of Naqshbandiyya. The four spiritual chains or orders or series where Sufi teachers teach tasawwuf. Now these salasil, they're not man-made. This is not some creation of man or some innovation of man. Rather, they are all bi-idhnillah. They are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The four salasil, the four spiritual chains or orders or series of Sufi teachers. Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, Allah's sunnah, Allah Ta'ala's method that He's given is for the mankind to benefit. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave guidance and methodology to the ummah that will continue until Qiyamah, until the Day of Judgment, and will keep people steadfast and upright on the deen. And what is deen? Ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul. Obeying Allah and obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because every day and age is different and unique, and as with time passing, we are going further away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as time goes further away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, different types of negativities overwhelm our minds, our bodies, our spiritual souls, and shaitan and nafs grab us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to allow us to combat these negative things, Allah has given us direction. It's the same deen, the same message, the same method. But to attain Allah Ta'ala's obedience and nearness, Allah Ta'ala gives different methodology, little bit different methodology. For example, we're sitting here in this country, and we are living in the Western Hemisphere of the world. Totally in the Western Hemisphere of the world, different to the background of many of the people who are here. Now, for example, let's take the village in Baruch in India, and a village in the wilderness in the extreme countryside, where there's a house in the dusty plains of the village. Isn't there a difference between that environment and here? The lights here, the way of life here, the culture here, the lifestyle here is different to the contrast. But there, the dhikr of the Naqshbandi chain is taking place. Just like here, the Naqshbandi dhikr is taking place. Allah's faiz reaches there. Allah's faiz and blessings reach here. So this is not the case that in one region Allah Ta'ala has sent the deen in the world, and that Allah Ta'ala has said that, oh, in the Western Hemisphere, people will stay in the darkness and not benefit from Islam. No, that's not the case. Everywhere Allah Ta'ala has prepared and given direction and guidance. There people eat chapati with the chopper with the butter on, then here we eat the bread, the toast. There people will eat halwa, and here we'll eat porridge in the morning. This is the case, isn't it? Different foods, culture, lifestyle. There the breakfast items on the menu are different. I can't even name them. But here we have different foods. But the objective is to fill the stomach. So because the environment is different and the lifestyle is different, but the basic thing is that we need to have nourishment. Let's take breakfast example. We will need to eat. People in different parts of the world eat different foods. In the same way, the salasil, the spiritual chains, this is their style as well, that they adjust to accommodate the need of that time. In one age, the Qadiriyya silsila, the Qadiriyya spiritual chain, was more powerful and famous. And if you went in that time around the world, you'd hear Qadiriyya silsila, Qadiriyya silsila. The Qadiriyya teachers were teaching tasawwuf. Remember, as I said, the objective of the salasil, the spiritual orders, is to rectify human beings. They don't teach magic or new deen or bid'ah or innovation. No, rather, the objective is to teach tasawwuf. And just like the soul is spiritual cleansing, purification of the soul. And as time is going further away from the Prophet ﷺ, we have new spiritual diseases and problems in society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the salasil, through the spiritual orders and chains, Allah ta'ala has given tariqah and method so we can rectify ourselves and improve ourselves as human beings. Now let's take Europe. We live in Europe. Physically, there are a lot of different illnesses. We have flu epidemics, and flu doesn't go away. We have to keep the handkerchief in our pockets. We have to eat the allergy tablets, and I have to eat these. But if we go to our countries where we came from, there's dust and wind is blowing with the dust into our mouths, into our noses and faces, but it doesn't have any effect. So in the same way, the spiritual diseases in this region are different. And the style of sinning in the Western Hemisphere is different because Shaitan is Western. And he's affecting us in a different way when we live here, as opposed to different parts of the world. So we have to have the unique method to cleanse ourselves and to save ourselves, because we all want to attain Jannah and Paradise and to be saved from the punishment. So in that way, if we go back, that Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Ghaus Pak, who was a famous Sheikh and Wali, Allah Ta'ala selected him, and mashallah, he spread the deen in a great way in his generation. The people changed, Islam spread, and a passion of Islam spread, and the discussions, and through his mashallah blessed statements, Allah Ta'ala allowed him to spread the deen. Nothing new. Quran and hadith is what he spread. So what we speak about every day or regularly is Quran and hadith. Do I speak from any other angle? We speak about sunnah and the Quran. Isn't this the case? So this is what the deen is. So the same thing, the Qadiriyya Silsila, when it was spreading the deen and the disease and spiritual illnesses and problems and sins of that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, inspired him to teach the deen in a unique way in that day and age for those people, for their need. So Allah ta'ala himself gave him that direction, that this time, this decade or this age, you need to call the people, gather them, give them islah, rectify them through the teaching of tasawwuf, which cleans and purifies. So mashallah, when he started to do his da'wah and propagate the deen, mashallah, we see that his gatherings were full of people, thousands of people, and many thousands would depart with passion of deen, and many would pass away in the gathering, and janazas would take place, and people who were gangsters and bandits would leave the gathering after reciting the kalima. They would have changed their deen and come onto the right path. So this was the salasil, the spiritual chains and orders. This is their effect to improve the lives of people. Allah Ta'ala selected these and taught these to the ummah of the Muslims. So as the time progressed, we then go from Qadiriyya Silsila, and then Qadiriyya Silsila, you can say, was less in impact, and another Silsila came, which is the Chishti Silsila. Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullahi, who lived in the Middle East. And Allah Ta'ala could see at that time that in the Indian subcontinent there was work of the deen was needed. So Allah Ta'ala saw this and realized, and Allah Ta'ala then sent and made Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti realize that there was a need, a gap, and Allah Ta'ala inspired him to move and to travel to the Indian subcontinent. Subhanallah. So he wasn't, and he's teaching the people from the Indian subcontinent, the children of Sikhs and Hindus, the kalima, Islam. Because before, Pakistan, Bangladesh, India was all one country. Our forefathers, what were they? What religion did they follow? Apart from those people who came from the Middle East, so Sayyid or Faruqi or Siddiqui, different people who were Arabs, who through tabligh and propagation, they came to the Indian subcontinent. But originally, the people, the population of the Indian subcontinent, for example, our forefathers and grandfathers and ancestors were all Hindus and Sikhs. And even today, the Muslims in the Indian subcontinent have the same similarities in culture, caste, tribal system, etc. So where does this come from? So where did the deen come from? Allah Ta'ala's deen was to spread. The people there were ignorant in the Indian subcontinent, hundreds of millions of people. And until Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala wanted to spread. Then Allah Ta'ala sent one man, because the Wali of Allah, who is the true follower of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he doesn't need a group, he doesn't need weapons, he doesn't need assets. He has the Quran and the Sunnah in his hand, and he has Allah Ta'ala's permission and guidance. And what else does he need? So he went from the Middle East, he traveled to Lahore, and then he reached to Ajmer in India. And Ajmer wasn't a big place, it was the headquarters of many, many Hindus lived there. He sat there, he demonstrated good conduct, the stories there, how he spread Islam. Hundreds of thousands came to Islam through his beautiful company. And did he go there for money, business? Did he construct a farm there, or assets, or buildings, or houses, or mansions? No, he came, he lived in a simple, small mud shack. And that's where his janaza came out from when he passed away. He lived on the dusty plains. And he didn't come for business or for dunya. He came for spreading Allah Ta'ala's deen. Sadiq, true, sincere people. You see this? And today, our grandfathers, forefathers, and Darul Ulooms, institutes, and masjids, etc. Where did this all emanate from? The teachings of one individual, Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti. And those people who came to his silsila, his spiritual teaching, and their lifestyle was different. Because the people at that time in India, Hindus, etc., they liked music and hymns. So, you know, Hindus were, for example, they used the musical instruments. So Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, he taught them the right way to do things. He didn't allow them to do things in the haram way. So at that time, he utilized the method of sama, which is a way of doing dhikr, means listening, and often includes singing, recitation of poetry and prayers, not like the qawalis of today, which is wrong. Sama, which emphasized singing or recitation, but it allowed accompaniment of symbolic instruments, which was amongst the Hindus and the Sikhs, like bells or tambourine or the daf. And he allowed that to be utilized, and people then ran towards his company and ran towards the Quran and the Hadith due to his method of sama, which was introduced. And with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah, people benefited. So what is this? This is the silsila Chishtiya. So first was silsila Qadriya, then silsila Chishtiya. Do you understand? This silsila is not a drama or a game or a cult, or we've come to this country and this silsila Naqshbandiya, which is now, mashallah, overwhelming the salasil in the world. This is all bi-idhnillah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, who can dare? How can I dare? How can anyone else dare to innovate and bring new things into Islam? The question doesn't arise. This is bi-idhnillah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the age continued, the generation continued, the time continued. So after Qadriya and Chishtiya came Suhrawardiya, the third salasil, the third spiritual order of tasawwuf. And then in Bukhara, a Sayyid was born. Bukhara is in Russia. Samarkand, etc., and many places we don't know the name. So this sheikh didn't come from the Middle East or other country, he came from Bukhara, from latter-day Russia. So a darvish was born there in Bukhara. And what was his name? It was Hazrat Bahauddin Rahmatullah. Hazrat Bahauddin Rahmatullah. Now what did Hazrat Bahauddin do? Subhanallah. This silsila came in this way, the silsila Naqshbandiya. He closed his door, his hujra, his prayer room. He was a pious person and he was upright. He worshipped, did a lot of worship, spent his time in devotion, meditation. He closed his door, he fell into prostration. He said, Allah, I will not get up except for salah. Except for salah and my needs, Allah, I will not rise from this sajda until Allah, my understanding says to me that these three silsilas that came before, Qadri, Chishti, Surwadi, they did the work of the deen, but the time to come now in the future, until Qiyamah, we need one silsila to run that can benefit everybody. And such a silsila, a chain of teachers that teach the tasawwuf and Islam to the people, because the people to come, there will be technology, people will be busy, they won't have time to practice deen, there will be modern instruments, a modern technology. Did anyone do dhikr like this through the microphone? Was there dhikr online? Was there anyone taking bayah online, etc.? So Hazrat Bahauddin had the foresight, the vision. He said, Allah, we need dhikr and prayer and worship that can be done easy, so we can spend less time, less dhikr, but get a lot of reward and impact at the same time. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, he asked from Allah, no response came. Eventually, after the seventh day, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah came to him, inspiration came to him, he raised his head, Allah Ta'ala said, I have accepted your request. Allah's rahmah, subhanAllah, came, the mercy of Allah, and the three silsila that came before, Qadriya, Surwardi, Chishtiya, put them to the side, and they all, these three silsila, have a link with Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajh radiyallahu anhu, and they have the fares from Hazrat Ali. But Allah Ta'ala gave the inspiration, I'm going to give you such a beautiful, unique silsila now, chain and order of tasawwuf that will continue until Qiyamah. Rather, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani has written in his maktubat, in his writings, that Mahdi alayhi salam, Hazrat Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, will also be connected to the Naqshbandi silsila. Allah is Qadir, Mutlaq, he can allow anything to happen. So the biggish Naqshbandi sheikh of his time, when Mahdi alayhi salam will come, he will be connected to the biggest Naqshbandi change of time. And what happens after that, khair, Allah knows best. This was written by Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani in his maktubat. He said that this will occur. Anyway, so going back to that event, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi, rahmatullahi, he asked from Allah, made a request. Allah Ta'ala gave the mercy. Allah Ta'ala gave the inspiration that this silsila of yours will spread. And that when the Shaykh, he gives the dhikr, the name of Allah is imprinted onto the heart of the student. Allah Ta'ala said, this is why the name was given, Naqshbandi. Naqsh, the name of Allah is imprinted onto the heart. And Allah Ta'ala gave a shortcut method. Allah Ta'ala said that I don't want the people of the world in this day and age who are busy, who are working, employees, somebody's flying the air in a plane, somebody's sailing by ship, occupations, careers, professions, business, employment. So Allah Ta'ala wants that the Muslimin of today are busy in the world, but at the same time remembering Allah. Solid Muslims, robust Muslims, firm iman. Wherever they go in the world, they live in the dunya, work and live and eat in the dunya, but they detach themselves from the dunya as well. And the people of the world will be surprised and happy to see this, that they're living the life as a Muslim. There's no haram, unlawfulness, no sin, and their hearts are sincere and pure. That while they're working, they bow their heads and they start to remember Allah and they reach to Allah. This is the Naqshbandi silsila. If you want to be a true Naqshbandi and follow in the footsteps of Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, who gave the teaching, so Allah gave a unique true silsila, a new spiritual order, teaching tasawwuf, the subject of Islam, which teaches purification of the soul and the heart till the day of judgment. And if you bow your head for a few moments, silent, Allah, 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 and the heart is purified through the dhikr of Allah. So this is the Naqshbandi silsila that we are members of. We haven't come here through our preference or our understanding or our selection or our intellect. Nor have I come here myself. I haven't selected this myself. I haven't created this. I know that where dhikr, how I was taught and how it started in this region, we cannot even imagine how Allah Ta'ala, that one man on his own, and the Wali of Allah, my teacher, the Naqshbandi Shaykh, gave me the order. From Madinatul Manawwara, the order is being given. That go and do the work of the deen. Here in the UK, I didn't know from alif to ya about the sawwuf, what is the silsila, spiritual order, how to teach the sawwuf. And there was a lot of noise from the other silsila at that time, a lot of work, the peers were coming, and there was eating, filling the stomachs, filling the pockets, and taking money from other people's pockets. And this is what was happening. And who is running this silsila now? Who inspired this? Who gave the guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you people. For us to benefit, our hearts to benefit. And if we don't appreciate, how sad. How sad. So why was I sent here, given this permission that this silsila can continue, the Naqshbandi silsila, so people can be rectified with Islam. And whoever enters into this silsila, Naqshbandi school of tasawwuf, with sincerity and ikhlas, Allah Ta'ala says that he will become my servant and will succeed. Now if we play games and we don't leave haram, we don't leave unlawful actions, we don't leave the sins, we don't correct ourselves, then tell me, what a weird thing, what a sad situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl, his grace and rewards he's given to us, that we cannot imagine what Allah ta'ala has given to us. We cannot imagine. Allah has given such a great guarantee to those individuals who become students in the Naqshbandi silsila, the Naqshbandi school of tasawwuf that teaches rectification, so we can come onto the path of the deen, the Quran and the sunnah. And we are ungrateful that we can be the there cannot be a worse, more ungrateful person than me who enters into this silsila and doesn't implement the principles to get him close to Allah. So Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi, alhamdulillah, he knew, he made effort all his life and gave sacrifice. He knew the weak point of the Muslimin, of the believers, and he said a beautiful thing once, that negligence, ghaflat, the ghafil person who implements ghaflat, nothing can remove negligence and laziness from a person. There's no action or ibadah that can remove negligence or distance or disconnection from Allah. If there's any action that can take us far from being a ghafil, it is only one action, which is the dhikr of Allah. Wahid, one action. And who is the ghafil? Who is lazy and negligent? Who has no connection with Allah? What is his position? So do you understand that coming out of laziness, and if we haven't got a connection with Allah, only one action can take us away from this bad condition, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. And listen to this carefully, that if a person is a ghafil, if he forgets Allah, if he's far from Allah, not close to Allah, what takes us far from Allah? What takes us far from Allah? And what will bring us back? The dhikr of Allah will bring us back close to Allah. And how dirty is ghaflat? Negligence is such an impure thing. Then listen carefully. Then let's look towards the generation today and let's look towards myself. That to be a ghafil is so bad that Allah Ta'ala says that even the period of time akin to the blinking of the eyelid, the flash of lightning, the blinking of an eyelid, if I for that split second of time am negligent and not connected to Allah and I'm not remembering Allah for even that small period of time, the blinking of the eyelid, then to compensate for that, even if after that the rest of my life I try to make effort to compensate for that loss of time, I cannot compensate for that loss. Because Allah Ta'ala said that you don't know, O my creation, that if you are the ghafil and you forget me for that split second, you don't know what you have lost. Allah Ta'ala said, I don't even want that my creation, the human being, is a ghafil, that he forgets me even for that period of time, which is the flash of light, which is the blinking of the eyelid. The blinking of our eyelashes. And look at the hal of ourselves today, our condition. Because this is linked to the akhirah. It was in the day of On the day of judgment in the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala will account for every second. For every second, who was the ghafil? Who was distant from me? Who wasn't close to me? Allah will ask, who was the ghafil? Who didn't remember me? And he'll say, Allah, just for a few moments I didn't remember you. Allah said, I didn't even want you to forget me for the blinking of an eyelid second. And then he'll say, Allah, there was no preparation, there was no sources for me, no resources for me that I could go and join somewhere and remember you. Allah Ta'ala said, no, I prepared for you. I sent you guidance. The means were there and you didn't take them. What was that? The dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. Allah says that I gave you permission to do my dhikr. You think it's a small thing that I'm giving you ijaza to do my dhikr? You think it's a minor thing? Is this not an important thing? That the impure person could sit down and do my dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, do you think this is a minor, insignificant, not important, that even a child can sit down and do dhikr today, a sister can sit down and do dhikr today, a woman can sit down and do dhikr today? Is this not a great feat that Allah Ta'ala has given us the permission to sit down and recite His name, remember His name? Because we don't understand what is the barakah, the blessing, the value, the power in Allah's name. And what else is there? If we knew, ask that person, that creation that says the name of Allah and knows who is Allah, and what will I attain by saying the name of Allah? Look at the creatures and the creation around the universe. They realize the power and the value of the name of Allah. Put the whole universe to one side and the riches and the wealth, but that cannot come compared to the value of reciting Allah's name once. But because we've got it in abundance and we've got permission, we don't realize the value of it. We don't realize this is such a great action, massive action. The dhikr, reciting Allah's name once, takes us out of the biggest darkness. The Allah Ta'ala says, I don't want you to forget me even for the split second of blinking your eyelid. Why were you lazy? Why were you distant from me? Allah says, my creation can never leave my remembrance. Allah Ta'ala says otherwise. Allah challenges us human beings, that show me in my whole universe one piece of creation from top to bottom, left to right, the ant to the mosquito to the spider, to the smallest animal to the biggest animal, to the biggest structure, to the mountains, to the rocks, to the creation, to the nature. Allah says everything, or take the biggest structure, the biggest creation, to the smallest creation, for 1 second show me one of them that does not remember me. Allah Ta'ala says, asks Allah. Allah Ta'ala asks us. And Allah says, then how can you, O human being, forget me? How can you dare to forget me for even a split second? And let's look at ourselves. So what creates this? And what will take us away from being a ghafil? The salasil, the spiritual orders and chains of teachers that teach the sawaf, that teach dhikr of Allah, purification of Allah. This dawah we give you, invitation, come do dhikr, let's sit in the majlis. We've made this a routine, a habit. We don't have ilm, knowledge. What is this dawah? Why are we inviting to dhikr? What is the reality of this dhikr? What is the importance of this gathering? What is the importance of dhikr? We're taking it so easy. Casually we take dhikr. Oh, dhikr, shall I go? Okay, I'll go today. So casually we discard dhikr. We don't understand what we're attaining through Allah's remembrance. We don't understand what we're attaining by propagating this dhikr, inviting others to dhikr, and coming ourselves to dhikr. Allah says, not for the moment of blinking the eyelid do I want you to forget me. And the dhakir, what did you attain? And dhikr of Naqshbandi silsila, so powerful, high impact. Look, Hazrat Bahuddin Naqshbandi Rahmatullah said, I asked Allah for this silsila, and I know that those people will come into my silsila, into my chain of teachers, will not remain ghafil. They cannot. How did he prepare? What did he ask from Allah? What did Allah Ta'ala give to the Muslimin? That individual who in the morning steadfastly, consistently remembers Allah, in the Naqshbandi, according to the Naqshbandi teaching of dhikr, with the Naqshbandi asbaq, the Naqshbandi prescription of how, which recitation to do, which kalima to recite, how much to do and what to do. I'm speaking because this is the surgery of Hazrat Bahuddin Naqshbandi Rahmatullah. We are sitting his murids, his students, from his chain of teachers, from his teaching. So any student who gets associated with a Naqshbandi teacher whose chain of teachers goes back to Hazrat Bahuddin Naqshbandi Rahmatullah, whoever associates himself becomes a student of this silsila. Morning and evening he does dhikr regularly. In the morning and the evening he does dhikr according to the teaching of his sheikh regularly, steadfastly. Then Hazrat Bahuddin Naqshbandi Rahmatullah stated that in the eyes of Allah he will not be ghafil, lazy. He will rise as a believer. So has he not given us the method to do the work? So why don't we come in the morning? There's no work at Fajr time. You have to pray Fajr, isn't it? So come for Fajr, and in the night when you come back tired from work, you have to come to the masjid, isn't it? So if you get the majlis of dhikr, Naqshbandi silsila and majlis, gathering of dhikr, and we've got a bit of understanding, a bit of brain, and I sit and I attend the gathering, then on the day of judgment, I cannot rise as the ghafil, then that person will rise as the dhakir. And he will not be accounted like those people who with a blink of an eyelid forgot Allah. Allah will say that he's a dhakir, he cannot be a ghafil. He cannot be a ghafil. So what we should be doing now, what should we be doing now, is that if I've got a little bit of aqal, if I've got a little bit of understanding, do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand? Okay, you understand. So if I've got a bit of brain, a bit of intellect or understanding, that Allah Ta'ala is saying, I'm not stopping you from working or going to the office or your occupation or your business or being an employee. Allah has given us the whole day during the day. Allah says, with ease, you can work and earn and live in the world, but in the morning and the evening. In the morning and the evening, grab these two moments in the extreme of the days, you will rise with the dhakirin. And what is the attribute of the dhakirin? What is the reward for the dhakirin? Listen carefully. What is the reward for dhikr? We know the reward is Jannah, paradise, the hoors. We do dhikr, there's thawab, the angels come, there's forgiveness, the sins get forgiven. Everything is there. Everything is there, fine, for dhikr. But one reward I'll tell you for dhikr. One reward, unique. There's reward just like the other worship actions, but there's one unique reward. SubhanAllah. And this I learned from the nisbat, the connection with my shaykh. It is stated that the reward for dhikr is what? Because dhikr, what does dhikr do? What is the effect of dhikr? It takes a person away from being a ghafil. Dhakir, a person who does dhikr is a dhakir. And a dhakir isn't a ghafil. He gets closer to Allah. He's not far from Allah. And dhikr has given reward. Allah Ta'ala says that if you are a dhakir and you remember me, then I will give you the reward in the same way. How? That the dhakir who is remembering Allah when he's doing dhikr, then his Rabb, his Lord will never forget him. His Rabb Allah will never forget him. Allah will never forget the dhakir who does dhikr every day. Whether that person's dying, or whether he's at the moment of death, or he has died, or the people are giving him a ghusl, or they're wrapping his body with a shroud, or they're praying his janazah, or they've picked up his coffin and taken it to the graveyard, or they're digging his grave, or lowering him into the grave, or Munkar and Nagir, the angels have come into the grave, or he rises on the day of judgment, or he's standing in the line waiting for judgment. Allah will never forget him for one of those phases. And if his Rabb cannot forget him, or will not forgive him, then imagine the success on the day of judgment. Imagine his successful death. Imagine his successful time in the grave. My brothers, pay attention on this reward. I swear by Allah that we can sacrifice our lives so many times over for the fact that we have been given this great reward of dhikr of Allah. That our bodies, our ruh, our soul should be so happy and grateful. Allah, you've made me a dhakir. You give me the tawfiq to do dhikr. You give me such a great silsala. We should sacrifice our whole time, every second for this action. And we should be grateful that Allah has given us dhikr. And there's only one way to do shukr, to be grateful to Allah for the fact that He's made us dhakir or given us dhikr, is that we shouldn't commit the sins. We should leave the sins. If I continue to sin, I will be written in the list of the ungrateful, sinful people. Women, men, sisters and brothers, don't do an action that causes and earns Allah's displeasure. It doesn't matter what we are. If we commit the sins, we will be in a big, big loss. And we will lose such a big benefit of the dhikr. That due to the taste and enjoyment, so-called, of doing sin, we will see the darkness on the day of judgment. Allah has given us everything. Deen, Iman, His dhikr. And Allah says, in return, I just want one promise from you, that don't displease me. Don't make me unhappy. Keep doing shukr to me, Allah says. And how do you do my shukr, Allah says? That leave the sins. Don't do the actions that cause my anger. Allah Ta'ala has given us just one duty. One duty. This is a big point. Brothers, there's no guarantee of life. We are living, our age is increasing. We're getting to old age. We're going to our destination. Let's be honest with Allah. Because there's no bigger ibadah in this day and age than dhikr of Allah. Let me tell you this. That everything, the loss of other worship actions will be compensated. Look, people who recite Quran, how many people have done khatam of Quran, recite many juz a day, how many people read Quran in tahajjud, many people pray tahajjud, khair, this is the beauty and the benefit of this silsila, that we now know what is tahajjud, otherwise we don't know what is nafl. that we pray, we bop like the birds up and down, and we run away from salah. We didn't even know before what was tahajjud. But alhamdulillah, the color of the Naqshbandi silsila has come into our life, and we realize that tahajjud also is a great deed. Otherwise, what did we know about salah, or tasbih, or nafal, voluntary deeds and actions? I'm speaking about other people, mashallah. You are pious people, you've taken the taste, and you've reached further with the karam and mercy of Allah, mashallah. But those people who don't know anything, who don't know tahajjud, oh, it's too hard, tahajjud, I can't pray this. No, I'm scared. They start shaking when they hear the word tahajjud. Think for a second. So, how many people are there who do other deeds and worship actions? But when a person today, when he can't do any action, today is that day and age which was to come, which is a hard day and age, hard generation. That, can you imagine at the time of the Sahaba Ikram, or even the previous pious generations, that people were working in the night? Was there night shift and work in the factories, or running around like headless chickens? And today we have superstores and big shops open 24 hours, 7 days a week. So just now, generation we're living in, the busy generation, busy lives, occupations, professions, careers. But Allah says, these are my creation as well, and the time will still get busier. But Allah says, I don't want my creation to be lazy and negligent on me, so I've prepared the dhikr for this day and age, for the people if they learn from the Naqshbandi silsila. And if a Muslim today wants to become a dhakir, Allah says, I won't let him be a ghafil. I won't let him be a loser who loses the time. So brothers, but we have to be careful of one thing. Allah has given us deen, iman, the resources, the methods, the means, everything. But we have to promise to Allah one true promise. Allah, I will not commit the sin. I will not sin. Allah has given us this duty. And Allah says, I will give you the reward for this. Allah Ta'ala says that what bigger ibadah than this can you have? Allah has given us. You can say, if you wring a cloth, then the final drops come out. So if you wring the deen, then the conclusion of that is Allah has given us dhikr, the greatest reward, the greatest deed. Allah says, I know that this day and age you're living in is difficult to worship long hours in the night. If you stay up in the night worshipping, then how will you wake up in the morning? How will you go to work? How will you give time to the children and family? So Allah says, I've given a resource and a method, silsila Naqshbandiya, the silsila, the Naqshbandi chain of teachers that teach dhikr in such a great way that you do less amount of time dhikr and a high impact power. We don't have to do tasbih. We don't even use the tasbih in the dhikr. This tapping of the beads we do is just to make the heart revived and alive. That we do dhikr in that same way that when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was once walking in the marketplace, Hazrat Bauddin Naqshbandi that gives this story. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was in the marketplace, he saw a brother, a believer, in the masjid, in the marketplace. He was lowering his head, he had cloth over his head, and he was doing some ibad. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was smiling and said, ah, he's doing dhikr of Allah, he's remembering Allah. The sahaba understood the environment and the actions. So Allah has given us one tariqah, a method, that if you get 3 minutes spare, just lower your head and silently, Allah, 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 and you reach close to Allah. And by saying Allah once in the heart, you will fill the space between the heavens and the earth with the rewards. And once if you say with your heart Allah, multiply that 70 times for reward, because the dhikr of the heart gives 70 times reward. And 1 minute we waste, the question does arise. In 1 minute, multiply the reward, you earn so much. Naqshbandi student, he stops in the world, he's sitting outside in the world, and he stops and silently, and people are saying to him, Kem Cho, how are you? There's a discussion taking place. And he's got 2 minutes before doing the next meaningful action. And he sits, bows his head, and does dhikr in his heart. Allah, 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 Allah. He remembers Allah. He stands, and the dhakir, he prays salah. And the other person who is sitting in the dunya and talking and wasting time, the difference is between the heavens and the earth. Big gap difference. The person who has dhikr in the heart, he's alive, he's praying salah in a beautiful way. And the other person, he's detached from Allah, and he doesn't have the understanding of salah. So dhikr of Allah is a great action, a massive action, big impact, big net result impact. I used to give dawah to a youth, a member of the youth community, and he came running to me today. Hazrat, 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 young boy, Jawan, youthful. He said, I've made a true, sincere promise, Hazrat, from today that I'm not going to leave your majlis. I thought, hey, what's happened to him today? Suddenly, I always used to speak to him, give him dawah, and tell him about dhikr. He said, take my number today and put it on the list. There's one brother who was with me. I said, take his number and put him on the list so he gets the notification. He said, shall I tell you the truth? I said, yes, tell me. He said that I don't think there's any greater deed than dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. I said, I told you this all the time. How did you realize today? He said that there was a Molana from India. I recently communicated with him because I was distressed today. I was distressed recently, a lot of worry. Look, this is today's event. I'm telling you, fresh, news. He said, I was immersed in distress and worry. I couldn't tell you how bad I was, how sad I was. I couldn't see you or find you. So I phoned this Molana. And then he sent me a speech of his. And I won't tell you who is this Molana. And this Molana in the speech said to him that if you want to end all your worries and distress and issues and predicaments, I'll tell you one formula. What's that formula? Do the dhikr of Allah. So this young chap said, Hazrat Ji, I heard this and I remembered all the things you said before about dhikr, and I knew that this is the solution, and I swear by Allah that there's no greater deed than the dhikr of Allah, and I've prepared five other brothers. MashaAllah, I said, look at this. I said, I used to tell you and you never understood what I said. And he says, a great action, the dhikr of Allah. My friends, it may not be that we don't know what is dhikr, and when we pass away, we say, oh, dhikr of Allah was a great deed, a great action. What's the benefit then? What's the point then to do this? So today, make two promises, solid promises. Number one, morning and evening, we will do dhikr and maraqabah and dhikr in the heart. Allah's prepared this. And remember, Allah Ta'ala brings the preparation. Allah gives the means. Remember, I stopped some time back the online dhikr. And it was about 12 midnight at that time, a few days ago, that you will have received the notification that we will restart dhikr after fajr and in the evening. Because Allah Ta'ala wanted His creation not to lose out. Has a new notification ever gone out after 12 midnight? Ever? Does anyone give a notification? They come to dhikr. You must be thinking, I'm awake 12, 132. The notification doesn't go from here, from me. We have a system. I don't send the notification. The message takes a lot of time, preparation, sending the message. Allahu Akbar. And I didn't wait till the morning to send that communication. We didn't wait till the morning. Because Allah Ta'ala says, don't wait till the morning. I don't want the creation, the Muslimin, to lose out from the dhikr of Allah. Allah loves His creation. Allah loves His dhikr. Tell me. So that news, that the notification that dhikr is going to happen in the morning went out after midnight. And we know that many months dhikr in the morning had stopped. And somebody asked me recently, today, the Hazrat, recently you restarted dhikr in the morning after fajr. Why did you stop that dhikr? But I said that, listen, this is a very good question. Allah stops it and Allah restarts it. Why did Allah Ta'ala cease the online dhikr after fajr? I don't want to extend the discussion, but I'll explain it concisely. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir, powerful, all aware. He has the knowledge. He is supreme. And He can give and He can take. And if it's not in my heart, the thought, even then Allah will give. Even if I don't ask, Allah will give. You can say, how? How will Allah give? So, if Allah says that if you don't know what you need, Allah says, I know more than you what you need. What is your desire? What is good? Allah says, I know more than you what you need. Even the things you don't know. Where's this come from? Oh, I knew this. This is our hal. So Allah Ta'ala, He gives, doesn't He? Allah Ta'ala, He gives to us even though we don't ask, even though we don't know what we need. Allah says, Astajibli. Allah says, ask from me. But the condition is that you do dua and then I will give to you. So this is the condition. Why? What's the reason? Listen carefully. Allah Ta'ala likes from His servant. Allah's made, this is the sunnah of Allah, our ilahi, that Allah says, unless you have the talab, the desire, I won't give to you. When you have the desire and then make the request, then Allah says, the response will come from my rahmah, my mercy. Allah says, you create the desire for anything, for any action. Allah says, I am the Khaliq, I am the creator. From above in the heavens, I will give you Jannah, paradise. Whatever you desire, I will give to you. But what's the difference? Without you asking, I won't give to you. This is the first stage, the first step. What will you have to do? You have to ask from me, Allah says. Otherwise, Allah can give without asking. Allah says, giving, what's this? It's nothing. But dua, prayer, Allah has given us the resource and means of prayer. We have to bow in humility and ask from Allah. So Allah has made dua, prayer for us. That you do dua, you pray, and whatever is your talab and your design, the dua, you ask for Jannah and paradise, I will give to you. Allah says, I'm the Khaliq and the Supreme Lord. I can give you everything, even without you asking. There's nothing in the universe. That Allah says, why do you wait for paradise? I'll give you everything in this world. The kingdom and the lead, I'll give you everything. So Allah says, ask from me. This is my silsila, my series, my method. And this is tasawwuf, purification. This is not a drama or a game. You've come here sincerely, purely to create a connection with Allah. Directly between Allah and you. Tazkiyah, tafsiyah, purification. And what does Allah Ta'ala say about this? That when you have the talab, when you have the desire, if you are the true murid of your sheikh, and you ask from Allah, then I'll give to you. And in that murid who doesn't have the talab, I won't give to him. And the more talab he has, I will give to that person more. And the more you present your talab and desire, I swear by Allah, the more faith you will get, the more benefit you will get. One murid, one sheikh, has 50 students and 50 different maqams those students on. The reason for this, the dhikr tells us, they sit in the same way with the shaykh, with the teacher, and they all are doing dhikr at the same time. The same kalamats are being recited. What's the difference in their levels and rank? Because one student will have more desire than the other, more talab, more passion, and the student has more passion and desire, Allah will give him more fares and grace and blessings and mercy. And to have talab, it's not necessary. Many times you can be thousands of miles away from your teacher, but if you've got talab and desire, then you will attain the fares and you will get more fares and blessings than those students who are sitting physically in front of the sheikh. And the student who's thousands of miles away is with talab, he will get more and receive more. So what we realize, everything is attained based on intention and desire. So when a person goes to a majlis, a gathering of a sheikh, of a teacher, everything comes bi-idhnillah. His speech, his words, the discussion, the communication of the sheikh is coming because Allah Ta'ala gives him the permission. And those words and the discussion that's coming from the sheikh is due to the desire of the students. When the sheikh speaks, it's a reflection of the desire of the students. If the students are blank, empty boxes, they don't have no mood, then the break comes and the sheikh doesn't speak because Allah Ta'ala doesn't inspire the sheikh to speak. That's it. So now we understand. Now I understood that dhikr stopped at that time months ago because the people at that time, they had no desire. And this restarted because somebody would have cried out, some sister or brother would have shrieked out, who listened and would have made dua that Allah, dhikr stopped. Allah, please allow dhikr to restart. And in our destiny was dhikr. We used to listen and take part. Allah Ta'ala didn't take a minute. It was 12 or 1 o'clock. Allah instructed, restart the dhikr. Before Fajr, you have to instruct. And my name is to be recited at Fajr time. So this is to be the purity, sincere talab. That person attains, the sheikh cannot give, the peer doesn't give, Allah gives. Allah looks at the student. If you are sincere, Allah will restart. Allah will give. Whether you're sitting here in this majlis, come with a sincere intention. Allah, I've come with your talab, with your desire for you. Allah, give to me. Increase your love. Don't play games with Allah. Create the connection with Allah in your wujud. Revive yourself. Think about Allah. Give to me. Allah, give to me. Allah, give to me. Allah, come. Allah, come. Allah, come. Give to me. Allah will say, that's fine. That majlis, that gathering you sit in, the fares, the blessings of mine will come. And you will go with such iman. You say, that dhikr was so great. You'll say that to a brother. He'll say, oh, I was sleeping. I was dozing off. Someone's dozing off, someone's awake, someone's taking the loot and the booty. So there's a difference in everyone's desire and passion. So we need to revive our talab, our passion and desire. This is a pure silsila Naqshbandi. You understand? This is a pure marketplace. There's no drama, showing off, fakeness. This is a genuine place. If you have talab, that if we feel to do jahir dhikr, loud dhikr, that's from Allah. If we do silent dhikr, we do silent dhikr, that's from Allah. Sometimes you have to do dhikr according to the desire of the people or the understanding of the people. You have to be careful. But in normal majalis, it's not the desire of the sheikh, it's the public and the muslimin. Allah says, well, according to their desire and need, you should start the teaching. Here, we don't do fake teaching or showing off to people or for the sake of people's pleasure. Brothers, this is the same basic Naqshbandi silsila as Tuba Hazrat Bahuddin Naqshband Rahmatullah, and as has come from Rasulullah SAW, from the Quran Hadith. But according to this day and age, Allah Ta'ala has adjusted the manner of teaching so that people can benefit. And it's according to Allah, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Remember, the salasil of tasawwuf are totally in line with Rasulullah SAW's teaching, are totally in accordance with Quran and Sunnah, totally in accordance to the Sahaba, the practice of Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. This is the same practice, and there's no difference in their practice to our practice. And it's not that the Sufi, the way of tasawwuf is different. Sufism, tasawwuf is totally in line, 100% according to the Quran and Sunnah, and the way of the Sahaba. And the Sahaba had the vision and the sight of Rasulullah ﷺ. They attained the beautiful phase and blessings. But we are far, and for us, there's different preparation today. Allah has given us the means and resources so we can increase our iman. And this all starts and ends in the same deen of the Sahaba. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you this understanding of this spiritual chain. These thoughts came to my mind and heart today. I explained these few words to you today. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to understand these words. May we understand the importance of dhikr, and may we try to and make effort to attain the blessings of this. Ameen.